WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and look around you. Are there people printing out spreadsheets with cryptic columns such as PPR and ADP? Do you overhear conversations that go something along the lines of, do you really think Aaron Hernandez is going to overtake Rob Gronkowski as tight end on the Patriots depth chart this year? Is it you that's having this sort of conversation and printing out those spreadsheets? Well, as a new NFL season is around the corner, so is the new fantasy football season. And for this segment, let's just work under the assumption that fantasy football is a major force, a huge business that changes the way both fans and media approach the game. So if you're a fantasy football junkie, this is your safe space. If you're a critic or just oblivious to it, maybe you can learn something. Give us a call to discuss why you're hooked, if you're into fantasy football, and how it's changed your approach to being a fan. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And with us to help take your calls is Mike Tenier, writer for Football Outsiders, a site that looks to bring innovative statistics and intelligent analysis to the game of football. Hi, Mike. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, it's great to be here. And some of those conversations you just described are conversations that I have again and again and wind up getting in my inbox as I go through my email and try to figure out important things that go on over the next couple of months. I'll get an email from a stranger asking me, well, what do you really think of Arian Foster?
Yeah, so PPR for the uninitiated is points per reception. And ADP is average draft position.
Average draft position. Let's forget IDP, which is individual defensive players for leagues, for people who are so excited about football and love fantasy football so much they want to draft individual defensive players and keep track of their sacks, their tackles, their interceptions, which can take a fantasy draft that's supposed to be 2 hours on a Thursday night and turn it into a 5 or 6 hour marathon.
Because it's mostly about offense usually, right?
It's mostly about offensive players, guys who generate stats, touchdowns, receiving yards, rushes, things like that.
But points per reception, is that like how often you catch a pass that's for a touchdown?
Well, no, it's actually how often you simply catch a pass. So if you've got a player like Wes Welker of the Patriots who will catch 120 short passes in a year, you want to draft him in those leagues. But because they are shorter passes and because he doesn't catch as many touchdowns, in other leagues you might not want that individual. So it affects the individual inner strategy for a fantasy football player.
So do you really think Aaron Hernandez is going to overtake Rob Gronkowski as tight end on the Patriots depth chart? I'm just kidding. I want to go to the heart of one major critique of fantasy football, and that is that it changes the way you cheer. If you're in a fantasy league, all of a sudden you're rooting for individual players who you wouldn't otherwise root for, sometimes even root against if you're a Jets fan and they're on the Patriots or whatever. And at times it might even, so you're kind of undermining your own fandom. Does it fundamentally corrupt what it means to have loyalty to a team?
I don't think so. And one of the things I try to tell people is your fan experience is yours. It is your experience to do with what you wish. People will say, well, real fans don't do this, real fans don't do that. These are like these crazy unwritten rules that people have, never cheer for this, never cheer for that. At the same time, I live in Philadelphia area. I've been an Eagles fan all my life, and I've played fantasy football for 20 years, and I've never drafted a Cowboy. The idea, in addition to being among your friends and trying to prove your expertise piece and maybe winning a little money out of the pot. Part of what it's supposed to do, I think, is enhance the fan experience in that you may be a Jets fan, you may be a Giants fan, but it might be a Monday night game, and it might be the Raiders against the Chiefs, and you wouldn't have a dog in that fight whatsoever unless your running back happened to be playing, and it gives you something else to cheer for, which adds a little something to the game.
Let's see. I think Peter in East Hampton is on exactly that page, right, Peter?
Right, right. I never thought I would be caught up in it. Not that I'm caught up, but it is the minutia. When your guys aren't playing, you care about, you know, one guy on the Detroit Lions or the Denver Broncos, who, you know, teams you usually hate. But if there's a guy on your team, it makes you kind of follow out of the corner of your eye. Mm-hmm. Plus, my other comment is it brings a bunch of friends together who really don't get to talk week in and week out. You know, the way guys kind of get caught up in their lives and don't communicate, but it is a fun way of keeping in touch.
Women get together just to talk. Men have to have something to do. So this is something to do. Peter, thank you. Jim in Brooklyn, you gave up fantasy football after doing it for a while?
That's right. I played it for 5 years straight. I reached a point where I had 3 separate fantasy football teams in a season, which I know there's guys who have more than that. And the thing that drove me crazy is that I just kept on having to root against my own team. And I couldn't do it anymore. I just was so torn. I was rooting against my own quarterback. I was rooting against certain wide receivers because I had a certain defense. It reached a point where I just had to give it up cold turkey. I just said no to all my friends. I didn't respond to any of the emails. I was just done. I'm going to enjoy the season.
Thank you very much. What do you make of the way, I mean, almost along the lines of what Jim was saying, of the way in which the presentation of the game on television has changed? For instance, there's a service you can subscribe to now called NFL Red Zone that switches your TV to a game anytime any team is within the 20-yard line. Now, maybe some of that is just because it's exciting to watch when a touchdown is possible or a score is possible. But maybe it's also because everybody's checking their fantasy scores.
I think that that's part of it. I think it's also a reflection that now when you have like a 48-inch high-definition television, or you're at a sports bar that has 60 televisions, you can afford to either have a box-in-box or flip channels and just go someplace to say, I want an update. I call NFL Red Zone, which I happen to subscribe to, I call it short attention span theater, because while it's exciting to watch touchdowns, when you start watching touchdowns out of context of the game, you barely have an idea what's going on. Oh, let's cut over to the Lions, and there's Calvin Johnson. He scored a touchdown. And now let's go back to the Giants, and here's Brandon Jacobs. And it can almost be dizzying to try and keep track of what's going on. I remember watching it for an hour and not really knowing the score of any game because all I saw was this rat-a-tat-tat of scoring. So things that you see, like the statistics that go up on the screen, which is also a big deal in baseball, that is definitely fantasy driven. People want to know right away what the update is on a guy's rushing stats. I think a lot of those innovations were going to happen anyway. We have the technology, we have the space on the screen, and it's a source of interest for a lot of different people. There's nothing funnier though than when in the fourth quarter some obscure player catches a 3-yard pass and right away his fantasy stats come up.
Yeah.
You need to know Owen Schmidt had one catch for 4 yards in this game because that could make a difference.
That short attention span, that's why I'm almost always disappointed in highlights because
yeah.
I don't care to see just a touchdown catch being made or in baseball a home run going over the wall. Show me something about how that drive was set up. Show me really short clips of 6 plays in a row so I can get something, you know, or 3 key plays in the drive, something. But it's just that, you know, the adrenaline of that one moment of the ball being caught in the end zone or the running back diving over the pile and getting into the end zone, I don't care.
And that's the worst thing is not only does it wind up being deadening a little bit to fans who then when they're what I often notice is that sometimes fans watching the whole home team are always dissatisfied. You know, certainly in New York the last couple of weeks, dissatisfaction with Eli Manning, who of course has struggled a little bit. But you're always comparing the hometown team, who you did sit and watch most of the game, to the highlight reel of everybody else in the league. And everybody else in the league scores a touchdown on every play because
yeah.
That's the highlight reel. And your guy sometimes throws an incomplete pass or a 3-yard pass on 3rd and 10, and no one ever seems to measure up. And that's part of it. And the other thing is that the highlights don't give you a really good understanding of the game. And if you really want to get a deep knowledge, that deep appreciation where you say, oh, I know what these guys do, you can't get it from 5 minutes of highlights that shows everybody either at their best were on the flip side at their worst when they gave up the highlights.
Is the league itself entering tricky territory in the way it embraces fantasy football? I mean, gambling is illegal, but they have to know that most people bet on their fantasy football teams.
Well, I mean, it's betting to a degree. It's that you're putting money up front. I don't think that that's a real cause for concern. Certainly no one I talk to. They distance themselves to a degree where the NFL, when they run their fantasy challenges, it's very, very organized, and everything else is kind of put off to the side like that. It's not something – legally – from what I understand, this is not a shaky ground proposition. This is something that falls within a loophole somewhere. Mm. And I've never seen any urge to close that loophole up. I don't know what kind of money is really changing hands. When I'm talking with my buddies and we're putting in a league, we're talking about $100,
yeah.
$150 for an entire
season.
16-week season.
Right.
Yeah.
Just small potatoes.
Yeah.
Here's a theory. We've discussed on this show how football is dealing with the crisis around concussions and other head injuries, particularly along those players who play along the line. The NFL is making new rules to protect players and even skew the game a bit more towards speed and skill and away from just huge people smashing their bodies into each other. So I wonder if the NFL likes fantasy football in this context, because you don't get points for having the heaviest guy along your defensive line. You get points for quarterbacks and wide receivers and so-called position players. Maybe it's just, you know, just in our heads here, but does the league like that fantasy is skewing the focus of the game in that direction?
I think what the league likes about fantasy is skews the interest of the fans towards the national product, not necessarily a local product. That it creates a market for Red Zone, it creates a market for DirecTV, for Thursday night packages. Like, why are you going to watch a football game on Thursday night because my running back is in the game? The league has always liked offense. And the league has always liked to try to open up the game. Just about every rule change for the past 50 years has been to open up the game more and more and more. So I think they've always recognized that fans like offense, and fantasy football, I think, is just an outcropping of that.
Mike Tenier, writer for Football Outsiders, a site that looks to bring innovative statistics and intelligent analysis to the game of football, including fantasy football. I know you're a little nervous about coming on the show, because usually we do, politics and global issues, and you said they're doing fantasy football on the Brian Lehrer show. So before you go, what do you think we should do about Syria?
Draft them in the second round, and then make sure you're back. I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
We'll get Assad into the fantasy football league. And
I can tell you about Tywan Jones. He plays for the Raiders. Maybe that might help.
There we go. All right. Thanks a lot. It's been really fun, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And this has been the Brian Lehrer Show. For all you non-sports fans, we'll tell you that regular language programming. We'll resume with the Leonard Lopate Show coming up next.